asseblief, hierdie joke is nie goed hier, dit is a bad joke. It's baie bad. Maar, ons gaan speel een keer cricket, ons het so shofar, ons het so spanniekie wat in die besigheidsliga cricket speel, en dit is al way back, dit is al drie, vier jaar terug. En ons besluit een keer, denk is Merle wat op die ouwens afkom, wat een of ander vlakkie cricket of so iets noem hulle, dit is al by Daal Josefat. Ons is soos, dit is een vreemde naam, maar ons gaan dit probeer, en ons kom al by die vlakkie cricket aan, en die manne, joh, ding is een bykie dodgy daar, maar anyway, ons kom al by die hek aan, praat met die ouwe sê, yes, ons is hier vir die cricket, hy sê, oh ja, ok, great, hy sien al ons pads en goed is, en hy sê, en wie is jylle, wat is span is jylle, ons sê, nee, ons is een kerk, ons is shofar, hy sê, oh, so far, so good. So, ek het die, niks met niks uit te wijn, maar dit het, het opgebring by my, so, so far, so good, volgend. Ja, okay, jylle, ek is excited, die Heere het iets op my hart gesit, over een geruime tykie, en dit is grace, is die topic vir die dag, en, Godse genade, dit is amazing. Ek denk, dit staan centraal tot ons levens as christene. Ek denk, dit staan centraal verseker tot ons redding. En ek denk, dit is werkelijk deel van wie God is deel van sy karakter, is grace. En daar is so baie facette rondom dit. Is amper so baie angles door dit. Is amper so prisma, so verskillende angles kyk. Dan is al baie tot dit, is een baie ryk ding wat voorkom in die woord, en ek denk die laaste, nog altyd, maar die laaste paar jare is het iets wat weer verskrikkelijk na vore tree, en ek denk aan die hyper-grace bewegings, ek weet nie of jy al gehoor het van so iets nie, hulle noem die hyper-grace movements, as liekies geskryf al, soos Amazing Grace, en verskeie ander, en terechtelik so, dit is pivotal tot ons lewe as christene. Maar as hierdie een gedeelte wat die mens nie baie van hoor nie, een gedeelte van grace wat het is, wat die ou nie baie van hoor nie, of at least nie ek baie van hoor nie. En vandag wil ek die focus daarop draai, ek wil bykie daarover gesels. En miskien kan jy dink soos waar pas het in die prentjie met John 14 tot 17, met 1 John, met love and obedience, met om vrug te dra, soos hoe pas grace in hierdie hele ding in, en ek sal daarby uitkom, maar vir nou, vir eers, wil ek, ons het so lekker familieoefeninge gedoen, he. Seker het gehad as iemand een vraag wil vra van vooraf, dan begin die oumos net afkyk, vir my net oogkontak, so, as jy afkyk, gaan ek jou vra, so moet nie afkyk, he. En ek gaan nie die mense in die voorste rij vra nie, want anders gaan mense nie voor wil kom sit nie. Nee, dit is iets, as ek sê, dit is pivotal tot ons as christene. So, as jy die woord grace hoor, wat registreer by jou, wat kom by jou op? As jy woord grace, is wat se liggie flikker by jou, as jy die woord grace hoor? En kou. Nie bang wees jy? Mifs? Empowerment, is goed, patience, yes, liefde, Danny. Woeh, al breng jy Danny dit. Right boys, ek gaan huis toe. Amen, dit is dit. Nog iets? Oh yes. Undeserved, unmerited favor, that's right. Amen. Okay, jylle is baie slim. Sê vir jou langs jou, jy is baie slim. So die affirmation is goed vir oggend, he? Jylle voel goed. So dit, en is waar, is alles wat jylle genoem het. Ek denk, yes, dis unmerited favor for sure. Dis, dit is iets wat ons ontvang, wat ons nie verdien nie. Iets wat ons ontvang, wat ons nie verdien nie, maar dit het definitief uit te waai met salvation. Skrif sê, by grace, you have been saved. So dis hoekom dit pivotal is. Dit het te doen met salvation, maar dit het ook te doen met justification. Dit is 'n groot woord, dit beteken maar net, as ons justified is voor die Here, beteken dit ons is gemaak asof ons nog nooit gesondig het nie. Hy het ons gesien, hy sien ons asof ons nog nooit gesondig het nie. So, ek dink is in Romeine wat sê, being justified freely by his grace. So dit is regtig 'n powerful ding, en ons moet besop, dat, nou kan so eenetjie terug na grace in die Grieks, Jacobet, asseblief. Ja, al wat ek wil sê is, ons moet net besop rondom grace, wat ons op 'n baie keer hoor, en ons sê swaalf, ja, ek weet, ja, dis soms hoor het baie, en dit is, Godse genade is groot, is amen. Maar as ons grace reg verstaan, generate dit iets in ons, soos 'n thankfulness teenoor God. As ons dit korrek verstaan, is daar 'n massive dankbaarheid wat voortkom uit dit uit. So, in Grieks is die woord charis, ek weet of ek dit reg uitspreek nie, maar niemand van julle praat Grieksie, so dis charis. Of waarvan ek weet ten minste nie. Unmerited favor, soos wat daarachter gesê het Keith, en is a gift, it's freely given to us, en dit is reg. Maar, daar is meer tot grace, en vriendes is Merwe, hulle gooi altyd die appelkar om, en empowerment is iets wat ek wil aanraak. Maar voordat ek daarby kom, is daar is nog 'n konsep, mercy, ne? Grace en mercy is baie nou verwant, en partykeer kan 'n mens verward raak tussen grace en mercy, want het is geweldig naby mekaar. So grace is getting what we do not deserve, it's a gift. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. So al bietjie confusing. Maar mercy is eintlik, omdat ons sondaars is, en omdat ons sonde doen, en omdat God regverdig is, verdien ons eintlik sy wrath, ons verdien eintlik sy oordeel, maar as 'n volg van sy mercy, gee hy nie vir ons wat ons verdien nie. But grace, it's something that which we receive, which we do not deserve. It's freely given. It's a gift. Okay, as dit die sin maak, is okay. Dit sal na 'n tydjie insink. So Merv het dit aangeraak. Daar's hierdie area van grace. God's divine enablement, his empowerment for us to walk in that which he has called us to. Divine empowerment. This exciting. En ek gaan vandag daaroor gesels, ons gaan uitbrei rondom dit, maar eerstens wil ek ons 'n stapje terugvat na die season waarin ons nou is. So, wat het dit te doen met liefde, gehoorsaamheid en om vrug te dra? Baie vinnig, baie kort in 'n netedop. Die Here praat met ons rondom obedience en dat liefde die motivering is tot obedience. Ne? En in John 14 sê, if you love, you'll obey. Sê Jesus, if you love me, you'll obey. En dan sê, en heel in die einde sê hy, net soos wat ek gedoen het, wat die Vader gevra het, so dat die wêreld kan sien dat ek hom lief het. So, hoe die manier hoe die wêreld sien dat ons God lief het, is wanneer ons obey. Love and obedience, dis die motivering tot obedience. If it's not the motivation, love, then it's something else. And when we start wrong, we're going to end wrong. So love is important, that we start with love. And then we explained regarding obedience itself. And we took a while just to stand still on obedience, what it is. Ons het gesê dat hou baie groei, dis groei, sonder obedience kan ons nie groei nie, dit het te doen met myself, dit het te doen met die ou langsaan, dit het 'n effek op die ou langsaan, dit het 'n effek selfs as Heinrich Titus hier was, selfs deur die generasies, dis hoe ver obedience kan trek. So it's a huge thing, a massive thing, maar vandag wat ek gaan stop by, is God's grace, the empowerment to obey. So hy vra van ons goed, maar hy gee vir ons ook die krag om dit te kan uitoefen of te kan uitvoer. En ek dink baie van julle sal weet en julle sal saamstem dat God ons roep na 'n plek wat buitekant ons vermoë is. Hè? Hy roep ons na daai plek toe waar dit scary is, buitekant ons vermoë. En ek het daar so baie voorbeelde in die skrif, maar ek wil net een gebruik wat ons nou spesifiek eintlik mee deel, en dis John 15. Dit gaan oor die lood en die wingerdstok, en die uiteinde van hierdie prentjie is om wat te doen? Vrug te dra. Okay, dis om vrug te dra, maar Jesus doen 'n goeie job, hy verduidelik vir ons mooi vooraf, hy sê, die manier hoe jy vrug dra is, as wanneer jy abide in my, dis wanneer jy in my bly, hy sê pretty much baie duidelik, as jy dit nie doen nie, dan ga jy nie vrug dra nie, en sonder my kan jy niks doen nie, dis hoe ver hy gaan, en net so eentje na dit sê, and I have appointed you to bear fruit, so he has appointed us, to do something which we cannot do, in our own strength, in our own ability. It's a setup, sien julle dit? It sets us up. As ons wil uitvoer, waarvoor ons aangestel is, om vrug te dra, wat moet ons doen? Ons moet na hom toe gaan, om het te kan doen. En wat is dit? It's dependency upon God. Hy het so saamgestel, dat ons dependent, afhankelijk, op hom moet wees. En wat is dependency upon God? Humility. Ons kan nie het self doen, ons moet na hom toe gaan, om die opdragte uit te kan voer, en pretty much is dit die hele lewe, die Christen lewe is saamgevat het, dis die prentjie, ek love it, dis so'n mooi ding, en ons hoor het baie, dis die prentjie buiten kan die boot, Petrus wat op die water stap, dis, ek weet nie of julle dit doen nie, maar ek loop in die middel op my swembad rond, ja. Dis, ek weet, menen op die water, as julle dalk dink, ons een cover of iets, maar, Ek loop nie regtig op die water rond hier, want is nie moontlik in my eie krag nie. Ek dink jy, as julle dit kan doen, sê as jy altyd, hy oefen in die bad in die aande, maar as julle wil oefen, go for it. Maar die prentjie illustreer baie duidelik, dat dis iets wat ons nie kan doen in ons eie krag, of ons eie ability nie, is buiten kan die boot. En toch is dit precies waar die Here ons na te roep. Dit het te doen met jou calling. Die Here, die calling wat jy op jou lewe het, it's outside the boat. It's not possible in your own strength or in your own ability. Dit doen met 'n goddelike lewe. Godliness kan nie obtain word in jou eie krag of jou eie ability nie. Holiness kan nie obtain word in ons eie krag, ons eie ability nie. We cannot be obedient to God's commandments in our own strength and our own ability. Ons kan nie vrug dra nie, en dit is hoe die hele lewe lyk van ons as Christene. He calls us outside the boat, maar sal hy ons na een plek toe roep, waar hy nie vir ons die vermoë gee om het te doen nie? Nee. Nee, so hy geef ons die vermoë, en die vermoë is grace. En, so is julle reg, ons gaan die skrifte explore, waar die woord connections maak, tussen grace, in God's power. So die woord maak duidelik hy connections, so dis verskillende skrifte, dis bykie rond en bond, dis ook om ek het op die board het, dat jylle nie rond blaai nie, en die vertalings verskil ook, so ek wil tyd keer verduidelik, een het beter as die ander, en so ek wil het specifiek so uitlig. So wat ek wil hee, is jylle moet participate, soos laat die Here vir jou dit oopbreek. Soos wat hier die skrif kyk, na dit kyk, soek waar is grace, gelijk aan Godse kracht, of sy empowerment, his divine enablement, for us. Okay, so die eerste eniekie is jylle reg. Tik jou langs, so jylle lyk of jylle slaap, is jylle reg. Okay. Right. 2 Peter 1:2-3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Ek gaan het weer lees en ek gaan het uitlos. Grace and peace be multiplied to you as his divine power. Grace be multiplied to you as what? His divine power. En wat het gedoen? It has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Ek was nie baie goed in Engelsie, maar ek weet tenminste, wanneer is iets present tense, en wanneer is het past tense. en hy sê, as his divine power has given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, thus provision has been made already for us. His grace, his empowerment, we need to access it. And we'll see how we'll do that later on. So many of the translations and many of the concordances, they give definitions of grace. And mostly it's unmerited favor. of God towards man, but there's another part of it that you don't always continue to read. And it says, regarding grace, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. There's a divine influence of grace upon the heart so that there is a reflection in the life. There's an outworking of grace so that people can see grace is at work in this person's life. Something is happening. There's a divine influence in the heart and it reflects in the life. It's powerful, né? En ek wil julle dit illustreer in Handelinge 11:23. Dit is Barnabas wanneer hy by die gelowiges in Antioch aangekom het. And he said, when he arrived and he saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to abide in the Lord with all their hearts. So wanneer Barnabas daar aangekom het, he saw the grace of God on the people. Hy het nie net gehoor daarvan nie. He saw the outworking of grace in their lives. Ons spring na Hebrews 12:28. Dit het ook te doen met godliness. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. How, with what power, with what do we serve God acceptably? With grace. That's the empowerment to serve Him acceptably. 2 Corinthians 12:9. En hierdie ene haal ons baie keer aan. Dis Paulus wat hier praat en het is a powerful verse en ons gebruik het. En dit het te doen, net voor dit praat oor die doring in die vlees. En dan sê hy hierdie stukkie, en is God wat vir hom sê, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, wie van julle boast in julle weaknesses? Nee, ek nie. Ons wil weakness wegsteek. Die wêreld wil weakness wegsteek, want dit is nie 'n goeie ding nie. Niemand wil weak voorkom nie. Maar Paulus, as ons dit reg verstaan, hy sê, hy boast in sy weakness. In ander woorde, hy brag oor sy weakness. Wie brag oor hulle weaknesses? Hy doen het, want hy verstaan iets hier so. Hy sê, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power. Hy sê, daar is iets genoeg for my power. Grace is God's power. And it becomes perfect in our weakness. There's a manifestation of God's power through our weaknesses. So dat mense kan sien en kyk na jou lewe, daar's 'n area van weakness, as we give it over to God, and we ask Him for His grace, and there's an outworking, there's a reflection of grace in that area, people will say, what happened in this area in your life? Because they know it's not of you, there was a weakness, but God helped you with His power, you overcame that weakness. Amen? Is jy nog by? Okay. Gaan ek te vinnig, of is jy reg? Okay, is jy reg? Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. So daar is die connection, ons weet, we are saved by His grace. So grace brought salvation for all people. But it does another thing. Verse 12, it says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. Grace does something. It trains us. It teaches us to walk away, to renounce ungodliness, to renounce worldly passions. And it teaches us to live godly lives. So in hierso wil ek inslot en ek raak bietjie relax oor die hyper grace, maar dit is iets wat, dit kom daarop neer in 'n netedop, dat Jesus het vir ons gesterwe, sy genade is vir ons genoeg, dit cover alles, die hele tyd. So eintlik kan ons maar net aangaan met ons lewens en doen wat ons wil, want die Here se genade is mos daar. Hy het klaar vir ons sonde gesterf. Ons kan maar net aangaan met ons lewens. Hoef nie te verander nie, ons hoef nie te groei nie. There's grace. We are not under the law, we are under grace. So as jy daai ding hoor, dan sê jy kom gou hier na toe. O, in liefde, né? Speak the truth in love. Sê eers vir my lief vir my kop vir my Romeise en dan sê jy kom kyk gou hierso. Christ does something. It teaches us to walk away from ungodliness and worldly passions. So die grace waarvan jy praat, is nie die Bybelse grace nie. Want daai grace gaan veroorsaak dat jy wil wegloop van daai goeders af. Amen. Alright. Wat doen ons hier? Okay. Hebrews 4:16. En hier is ook 'n powerful verse. I love hierdie vers. Let us draw near with confidence. 'N ander vertaling sê with boldness to the throne of Christ. Why? Boldness is soos jy kom in, soos jy is nie bang en jy kom nie by die agterdeur in nie, jy kom voor in. Want jy mag voor in kom. Hoekom mag ons? Want Jesus het vir ons die toegang gegee as 'n vol van sy bloed en die werk op die kruis. We come boldly to what? To the throne of grace. And what do we do? The throne of grace. We receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Why do we find grace? To help. Why? In a time of need. Hierdie skrif praat in die konteks van versoekings. So, net voor dit gaan het oor versoekings. En dan die grace wat hier gepraat word van, dan sê, daar's grace to help us in a time of need. Yes, as ons foute maak, is die Here se grace daar. Amen. Absoluut. But I want to tell you, His grace is there beforehand. Before we sin, before we fail, His grace is already there. But we need to ask Him for His grace. We need to ask Him, we need to come humbly before Him and say, Lord, I need Your grace in this area. And that grace will let us overcome and will keep us from sin. So die oomblikke wanneer jy wil uitfreak op iemand. Ek freak nooit uit op mense, dis net julle. Maar daar sit Bastian, hy werk saam met my, so ek moet beg, ek freak uit soms op hom. Maar die oomblik wanneer ek wil kwaad raak of die oomblik wanneer iets my challenge en ek weet soos wow, ek gaan dit nie maak nou nie. Hier kom stoom uit by my ore en ek soos 'n pressure cooker of wat ook al die situasie mag wees. Of iemand doen iets aan jou en hier kom hierdie persoon, hulle konfronteer jou en jy dink soos joh, ek gaan nou, Here, ek gaan myself nie kan terughou nie. En dis daai oomblikke wanneer ons moet hardloop na die troonkamer toe. We need to ask Him, Lord, I need Your grace now. I want to be Your ambassador, Lord. I need Your grace now in this situation. En dis daai oomblikke wanneer ons vir Hom moet gaan vra vir sy grace. So, wanneer ons dit doen, hoe ons agter gaan kom, hoe nodig ons sy grace het in elke area van ons lewe, dit gaan die gevolg hê, dat ons al hoe meer kom na Hom toe, na die troonkamer toe, want ons gaan besef, joh, ek het regtig die Here se grace nodig, en ek kom na die troonkamer toe, en wanneer ek daar is, gaan ek abide met Hom. En dan kom ons eindelijk by die prentjie van John 15, the bearing fruit. So dit gaan ons veroorsaak om die hele tyd konstant by God te wees, om vir Hom te vra, om ons te help. Wie het al vir die boekie Brother Lawrence gelees? Wie het al gehoor van die boekie? I love die boekie. Kry het in die hand, is klein, is so 100 bladsy. Maar anyway, dit het my getriekel, hoe die ou praat, ek het die tyd vir dit nou eindelijk, die rel ek myself, maar hy is hierdie monk gewees, way back, 1800s, Christian monk, en maar hy het hierdie basic goed gedoen, soos hy het skoon gemaak en sulke goed, in die monastery, en hy het net gesê hoe hy die Here, soos wat hy het briewe geskryf aan mense, en baie van die briewe het hulle saamgevat, en hoe hy skryf hoe hy die Here se grace nodig het om skoon te maak. So ek sê, wow, ek sal die Here vra om grace om skoon te maak, hier kan ons dit self doen. Maar die ou wat het skryf aan sy vriende sê, hy was eintlik so half clumsy geweest. Hy het goed omgestaan en verkeerde goed gedoen aanvanklik, maar later dan het hy wat Brother Lawrence is eintlik die werk van twee mense begin doen. En ek besef toe net dat want hy die Here heeltyd gevra, hy die Here sy grace nodig. Hy het sy grace nodig om hierdie werk te kan doen. Ek besef toe net, wow, baie keer as iets vir my moontlik lyk in my eie krag, dan gou ek met dit. Tot iets wat my konfronteer wat ek nie self kan doen nie. As ek, jy moet nou my help. Maar andersins soos, ek kan hierdie doen, ek hier het, I've got this. En dan tot jy op een plek kom, is soos, ek het hierdie en die Here help. So, dit maar net laat besef dat daar, ons kan het ook self doen, maar wanneer die Here sy grace kom, dan vermenigvuldig hy eindelijk dit, die uitkomst daarvan. Maar surely, soos ek gesê het, gaan ons ook na plekke toe vat, waar ons net absolutely nie kan loop op ons eie krag nie. Hierdie volgende skrif, 1 Korintiërs 15 vers 10. Begin die prentjie al vir julle shape. 1 Korintiërs 15 vers 10, dis die een wat ek eerste gelees het, eindelijk waar ek rarig die grace as God's divine enablement of sy empowerment rarig eindelijk gesien het, en waar het so duidelik na vore kom. Dit sê, dis Paulus wat hier praat, en hy sê, by the grace of God, I am what I am, so deur Godse genade, sy empowerment, maar ook dit wat hy oorsien, sy salvation wat hy gee in grace, and his grace toward me was not in vain, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Ek dink, ek lees die ding, dink Paulus, jy is nog ons wind gehad, ne? Hy sê so maar, wow, ek werk harder as hulle allemaal. Sê, wow, Paulus, relax. En, maar net nou sê, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. The grace of God empowered Paul to work harder than any other person there. And working in that context means what God has called him to do. It was ministry in that context. But whatever God is calling you to, His grace can enable you to go further and beyond your own means. Jy kan die mense om jou afstof. Dis die regte woord. Uitstof. Uitstof. Waar kom ek aan daai woord? Jy kan die mense rondom jou uitstof. En dan gaan mense vra, wow, hoe doen jy dit? Not to boast in yourself. You say, but it's God's grace that is with me. There's an empowerment that is not my own. I receive it where? The throne room of grace. I go and get that grace for what God has called me to. En ons praat mos baie oor waar die Here jou plaas is, waar jou ministerie is, ne? Vir jou werk, wat ook al sy wil is vir jou leven, there is divine enablement to accomplish that. Whatever that is. Moet nie dat die vijand vir jou sê, jy doen nie iets betekenisvol. Nie. Brother Lawrence het skoon gemaak. Whatever he has called you to, there's provision, there's enablement for you. En ek wil, is twee verse in handelinge, en ons kom nader na die einde vir dit. Dit bevestig eindelijk maar net dit weer eens. Is Acts 14:26, en het sê, finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted, they delivered, commended them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. So it is Barnabas and Paulus, hulle het op 'n journey gegaan, hulle het begin by Antioch, en hulle het basis weer daar uitgekom. So hulle het hulle loop gemaak, ek dink het was soos 18 maande of iets soos dit, en hulle bevind hulle self weer waar hulle begin het aanvanklik. En dan sê het, the believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. The believers there, they entrusted them, they delivered them, they handed them over to the grace of God to do the work which they had done. Wow, hulle gee hulle oor aan God se genade, sy krag, sy divine enablement for the work that needed to be done. Ja, dit is cool. Acts 15 vers 40, net so 'n bietjie later, hulle is weer hier so op pad na 'n volgende journey. En hy is weer in Antioch, en hy sê vir Barnabas op daai stadium, kom ons gaan net om waar ons oral al was, en dis daar waar hulle bietjie risie opgetel het, maar hulle is weer op pad basis op die volgende reis, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been entrusted by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Once again, weer, toe hy weer op pad is, toe gee hulle om weer oor in grace of God, God's grace. They entrusted them. They handed them over to God's grace for the work that needed to be done. They handed them over to God's divine enablement, to his power for the work that he calls them to do. Are you seeing this? Are you getting this? Going to start landing the plane maybe now. Ek wil iets uitwys in 2 Korintiërs 8, 2 Korintiërs 8, and it's something we talk about quite often, and it's Paul writing to the Corinthians, but he's writing about the Macedonian church, and maybe I'll read it just quickly. It says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So here's the Macedonian church. Paul's writing about them. He's saying to the Corinthians, listen, these Macedonians, they are going through a severe test. Severe trial, but what they are doing is they are actually begging Paul. They are begging him for the opportunity to give, and they gave, but they gave even beyond their means. They gave beyond their own ability. How do you give? It's talking about financial now. How do you give beyond your ability? Verse 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. It was the grace of God given to them that empowered them, that enabled them to give above their own means, their own ability. And I just made this, or I just felt the Lord said I need to mention this. So I said earlier that once we understand grace, in all the areas of grace, there's a thankfulness that needs to or should come into our hearts. And when that thankfulness comes, it will spill over to something else. It will spill over to giving. Because the scripture says, freely you have received and freely you must give. So once we understand the value of what we have received, we will be so thankful, and that thankfulness will go over to a willingness to give. And these guys, I think they understood that. And may the Lord grant us further revelation about this so that it will go over to giving in areas in our lives. And in the last year, is 2 Timotheus 2:1, and it's eenvoudig. Bevestig nou maar net dat sê, you then my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To be strengthened by grace. How are we strengthened? Strengthened by grace. And so grace is the divine enablement, the divine empowerment to do what God has called us to do, what is not possible in our own human ability. That relates to obedience, it relates to his will, it relates to holiness, godliness, it relates to our calling, but we need God's divine enablement in every area of our life. So if we are talking about obedience, surely we're going to need God's grace. He's going to call us to things which will be difficult for us to obey if we're going to try with our own strength. We're going to get frustrated if we're going to try and do that. Okay? So, once we understand this now, we see this and we understand grace in that context now of his divine empowerment. Now we ask, how do we access this grace? And in Romans 5:2 says, through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Access by faith into this grace. Sien julle dit? So faith almost allows us to tap into that resource of grace. En ons weet die ander skrifte maak ook connections, soos Ephesians 12 sê, for by grace you've been saved through faith. En grace and faith is baie keer word saam genoem in die manier of die weg na grace is faith. En so it's faith to grace that saves us, but it's also faith to grace that empowers us. Amen. So James 4:6, het word aangehaal in 2 Petrus ook, het word aangehaal in Proverbs. It says, ons ken het, God resists the proud, but he gives grace. It says, more grace to the humble. And I meditated on this for a long time, and I just realized that soos wat ons praat oor die troonkamer van genade, as we are talking about how in need we are of God's grace, once we realize we cannot do what he has called us to do with in our own strength, our own ability, we will constantly find ourselves in the throne room of grace, asking for his grace, asking for his empowerment. And I realize that is the position of humility. Say, God gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, come to him, Lord, I need your strength, I need your power, I need your enablement. That's humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, we're almost positioning ourselves. We're not deserving it. We're only positioning ourselves almost to receive that grace, that empowerment, what he's calling us to do. And die hele ding rondom dit, hoekom het so belangrik is dat as ons nie weet van dit nie, gaan ons nie vra daarvoor nie. If we do not know about grace as empowerment, we're going to struggle because we're going to try in our own strength. We're not going to ask him for his grace. And I think he banned. Is he banned? Bandy? Funny band? Jy lekker maar so lang opgaan, so stik. Ek wil hee, kan jy staan? Ons gaan klaar maak. Nog so laaste paar goeikies. So, in areas waar jy struggle in jou lewe, dit kan wees in areas van jou karakter, jy kan struggle met die irritasie, met die meer, met ongeduld, met die liefdeloosheid, daar so baie areas waarin ons kan struggle, jy kan struggle in die area van sonde, iets wat jy al lank al sukkel, jy sukkel net om dit te oorkom, jy kry nie deurbraak in dit nie, jy kan sukkel in jou finansies, jy kan sukkel in die area van jou huwelik, daar's pretty much baie areas wat ons kan struggle in. En 1 John, waarmee ons ook deel sê, God's commandments is not burdensome. Eh? But I realize that it will become burdensome once we look through our own strength and our own abilities. It will look as something which we cannot do. And we will become frustrated trying in our own strength. When you try to be holy or godly in your own strength, you will get frustrated. I can promise you that. And that is a good measuring tool almost. Is there areas in your life, or are there areas in your life which you are frustrated with? You can't get breakthrough and you're struggling a long time. Frustration many times is our own strength. Trying to achieve something that God is supposed to achieve for us. Or we should achieve it through his strength, through his grace and his empowerment. So, So he has made provision for us. His grace, his supernatural empowerment. So this morning I'm not going to call you out to the front, but I want us to respond. I just realized that if I should call us out to respond, everybody should respond, because everybody has an area in their life which they are struggling with. Or if it's a situation, if it's financial or whatever it may be, there will be an area. So I rather think that what we're going to do is we're going to turn towards one another, person next to you, the person which you are comfortable with. And I realized I'd rather make you uncomfortable, but see breakthrough in your life. Okay, so just to respond to one another. So what I want us to do, there's something on our part, and it is to go to the throne room of Christ. To say to the Lord, as you pray with another person, to say to Him, listen, or to the Lord, I need Your grace, Father, in this area, Lord. I'm struggling here. In that area, Lord, I'm struggling there. I need Your breakthrough. I need Your grace in that area. So that is humility on your part, coming in low, asking for provision. But then I want us to do, if both parties have completed that, I want us to do as the people did, the believers did in Antioch. What they did is they entrusted, they delivered, they handed over each other, or Barnabas, to the grace of God, to His empowerment. So respond first to your situation. Bring it before the Lord. Ask Him for His grace. And then you pray for one another. Entrust the situation. Entrust this area to the Lord. Give it over to Him, to His grace and His empowerment. So as the music keeps on playing, you can find a partner, turn to one another, wherever you are comfortable, you can go for it. But I want us to respond. The Lord has spoken in this regard to us. If we want to see growth, it's part of obedience to respond. When He's tugging in our hearts, we need to respond. Okay, it's humility to respond to Him. Okay, so as the music is playing, find a partner and just do that.